We are blessed today to have a great labor leader that's going to come before us to give us our keynote address for today. This individual is a native of the Dominican Republic. He happens to be the first Latino to lead District Council 37 as its executive director. In his tenure, before even becoming executive director, he established the Municipal Employees Housing Program. He has, since becoming executive director, put together a Union Strong program, which is improving services, enhancing communication, one-on-one conversations with his members. He is a strong advocate for his members, all workers, and our community. Most of all, I want to say that he is a servant leader. He is out there with the people, working with the people, lifting up the needs of the people. And the best of all, for me, he is not just a brother in unionism, but he is my brother, he is my friend, he is always on the battlefield. I give you the executive director of AFSCME District Council 37, Henry Garrido.
In labor now. It's labor now. Good afternoon, brothers and sisters. I want to just acknowledge for a moment, you've heard words about our dearly brother Jose Peralta, who passed away. Jose and I actually grew up together in Corona, Queens. When I first came from the Dominican Republic, we lived in my grandmother's house, and his mother's were across the street from each other on 37th Avenue. He was a friend. We spent a lot of time together as young people. We rooted for the Mets when they were worth rooting for. We hit it on girls on the street when it was allowed and permissible. And we played basketball together. But more importantly, we fought for the rights of immigrants in this country, because we were not only immigrants ourselves, but we understood that the very foundation of this country was based on the contributions of immigrants. So Jose, wherever you are, God bless you, and I continue to pray for your soul. So, those of you who know me, I'm not long for long creating speeches, but I wanted to start today with one story. One story that I once read that I thought was very significant. It's a story about a man who was born with extraordinary talents. Even as a young boy, when he was born, he was able to do great things as a little toddler. He was able to speak earlier than everybody, and he had managed to get and acquire great knowledge from an earlier time. And his mother used to say, you know, you should thank God for the talents that you've been giving to him. And even as a young boy, he couldn't say anything because he didn't want to go against his mother, but he thought to himself in his mind, this isn't God, I was born with great gifts. And later on, he grows up, he becomes a teenager and goes to high school, and in high school he excels, he becomes a tremendous athlete, playing basketball, he surpasses everybody, scores in the test were off the chart, and he was able to speak languages at a time when nobody could recognize how he picked up his skills. And his teachers used to say to him, you know, you should thank God and you should thank your mother for all the support that she has prepared you for. And he used to say now a little more vocally, nah, I was born with extraordinary talent, so God had nothing to do with this. And as he grew up, he goes to college. He takes an education. Again, he continues to excel tremendously. He becomes the valedictorian, and the dean comes to him and he says, you know, you have been giving great, great talent. You should thank God, and you should thank your mother and your family and your teachers and your support. And he used to say, nah, I was born with great talent. God has nothing to do with this. And as he goes on, he gets a great job, and he's sought after by some of the blue chip companies who want to have this talented young man who is articulate and good looking and excels in sports and can do a lot of great things. And they give him a tremendous salary, and he now makes six figures and drives a fast car. And, you know, principals of the unions of the company used to say to him, you know, you should really be grateful. You should thank God and whoever gave you this talent, because you have been very lucky. And he used to say very vocally at this point, very emphatically, God had nothing to do with this. I was born with great talents. So one day when he gets his biggest promotion, he decides that he's going to go on a trip to celebrate his talent. He's going to go up this high mountain to demonstrate his physical skills. He's going to climb up by himself, and he does. He incredibly goes up in this mountain. As he's getting out to the peak, he's confronted by a bear, which he sees out of nowhere. This bear is surrounded by two cubs, and immediately upon seeing the man, the bear attacks him, runs after him in a very ferocious manner. And the man, as fast as he wants, he runs to one side, and the bear runs to that side. He goes left, and the bear goes left. And he doesn't know what to do. Finally, he sees a little cave, and he figures, maybe I can hide here. Runs into the cave, into the dark cave. And the bear actually is smart enough to run into the cave. At this point, corners the man in the cave. Now, he can see his figure, his very angry demeanor. He can see the claws about to kill him, and he sees his eyes very angrily looking at the man. And the man says, the first thing he says, "Oh God, I don't want to die. Oh God, please, please save me." And all of a sudden, light comes out of nowhere, and a voice says, "You know, you've got some nerve. Your entire life, you've been denying my presence, you've been denying my gift, you've been denying the things that I've given you, and you have said it has been because of your talent. And the moment you get in trouble, who do you call? The moment you need to be saved, who do you call? You ignore the contributions of your family, your mother, your teachers, your principals, the people who helped you out throughout this process. And as soon as you get in trouble, who do you call? God." So the man's thinking he's very smart. He turns to, and he says to the figure that's appearing, he said, okay, I got it. I haven't deserved your blessing or your care. I understand that, I accept that. But don't do it for me, do it for the bear." And the voice says, "You know what, maybe you got a point." And all of a sudden, the bear, who had been frozen in time, a lightning strikes again, the figure disappears, the voice goes away, and now the bear is completely calm. You can no longer hear his claws or his angry face. He's completely at peace. And he seems to have lost all the animosity, all the anger to the bear. And so the man thinks, "Well, I'm saved." And then the bear turns around, puts his hands together, lowers his head, and says, "Lord, bless this food for we're about to have." I like that story because a lot of this is like the American labor movement. Some of us forgot where we came from. Some of us forgot the talent that we're given. Think that the talent that we're given is what brought us here. Some of us thought that because we negotiated a good contract one time 20 years ago, we needed to stop talking to workers. Some of us forgot that it wasn't just God, but people around the way, teachers and firefighters and workers who raised the standard for working people. And some of us forgot that the American labor movement not only gave birth to the progressive movement of the country, but it has been the engine that has continued to move those progressive policies. And so I'm here, not as a lightning, oh God, to remind folks today of that story. But I am here to say that those policies that led to the majority of the Democratic Senate will be very proud of. We in labor need to remind those folks that it was our contribution, the contribution of working people in this country, that have continued to write this resistance and continue to fight for those progressive ideas. I also want to say something before you put me on the stage, which is, I do think Harry's right. President Trump is right. There is a national emergency. He is the national emergency. He is the national emergency. And I'm very proud of the work that labor has done. I'm very proud of the midterm elections I'm very proud to continue to push for empowering of women who have led the way in this argument from the beginning of the marches, but also at the political spectrum. I am extremely proud of the work that the union has done in that movement. But let me be clear, brothers and sisters. I love Alexandra Ocasio-Cortez. She is my representative. I live in a district. I support her, I voted for her, and I am extremely proud of the work that she's done. And I will continue to push for her. But before there was an Alexandra Ocasio-Cortez, there was a Lillian Roberts who was willing to sacrifice and be put in jail so that healthcare was there for people. And we need to recognize the work of labor and the role of labor has played. And I'm gonna leave that for my conclusion of my remarks. We have a lot of friends here in the state legislatures. And we heard from our friend, Assemblyman Crespo. But sometimes those friends tend to forget who put them in their position in the first place. Sometimes they need to forget, they tend to forget that labor has not only taken the sacrifice in tough times, so when it's time to enjoy the majority, labor should be protected in that process. And I don't care where you are on the side of the Amazon fight, whether you were for it or against it, no one should be disputing the right of workers to have a union in the workplace, that the employees in the workplace to have the ability to fight for themselves, for health insurance, or pensions. And that's what we saw. So brothers and sisters, thank you very much.